You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? It's, I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
So, when did you fall in love with hip-hop?
I basically fell in love with hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? When cats first started going out to the parks, you know, with the two turntables, the mic.
I think it was 1977.
People are rocking in the parks.
I can remember back in the Bronx. 1979.
Set up some turntables in front of the building.
And it was getting the power from the street lamps outside.
Plugged it up into the street pole.
MC and DJ and B-boy and breakdancing.
Breakdancing or popping beats or rhymes. You know, I was in love with it.
Probably about 12 years old, man. And I was watching Wild Style.
It was creative, it was new, it was fresh.
Breaking, rapping, battling. Just the whole culture, period.
Band by the show. Africa Islam show. It was just like our way of expression.
Hip-hop spoke directly to me because, you know, it was speaking from a language that the people I was dealing with were speaking in.
And I loved it as soon as I got introduced to it.
I was going to be dealing with hip-hop whether I wanted to or not. Like a forced marriage, it was predetermined.
And I heard Eric B's for president, and that kind of changed my life. I heard the message, Melly Mel.
There was a rapper named Eddie Cheever, who was one of the pioneers.
When I first heard Sugar Hill Gang.
And Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight. That set it off for rap music. Funky Four plus one more.
Plus one more, you know what I'm saying? Furious Five, Freedom.
Running Them and Houdini Freestyle. Sucker MCs by Run DMC. Sucker MCs Live.
Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel.
Grandmaster Caz from the Cold Crush Brothers.
Cold Crush.
Cold Crush.
Cold Crush.
Grandmaster Flash.
Treacherous 3, Body Rock,
Spoody G, Love Rap.
The first time I heard Rebel Without a Cause.
Eric B and Rakim.
And EPMD and them.
I gotta say Public Enemy as a group. You know.
Classic. Bangers. I mean, to this day, they bangers.
I just loved what it sounded like. And I love what he was saying. You know, the whole slick tongue thing.
I felt like these dudes is the truth. Forget everything else you heard on the radio and all that. This is it. This is what I want to do.
I was in.
It was freedom.
I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest Minister Server. Welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of Intelligent Radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all you intellectual outcasts out there. I am super excited to do this morning's show. As I always say, I am the exact same age as hip-hop, 50 years old. I just passed it, so shout out to hip-hop. But I have a returning guest on for this morning's discussion, Minister Server, if you will, King. Say hello to the intellectual outcast out there listening. Glad to have you back on the show again, as I like to say. But if you will, tell people a little bit about your background before we get into this morning's discussion question.
Peace and love of the people out there. Appreciate you having me on, Black Socrates. Definitely looking forward to this conversation. For those that may or may not know me, I am Minister Server Tavares. I'm a hip-hop cultural strategist. I'm also the first Minister of Hip-Hop Culture internationally. I've been doing work in hip-hop for over 30 years, you know, but directly 20 years ago, when things really took off to the next level, that's when KRS-One hired me as a spiritual advisor and a national organizer with the Temple of Hip-Hop movement. And, you know, it's been a great experience. Of course, with this Hip-Hop 50 that we're in, it's been great to have these kind of conversations. But, you know, at the end of the day for me, man, you know, I use hip-hop the same way I talk about it, as life strategies for self-identification, self-improvement, and self-empowerment. I've been blessed to help to raise 6 wonderful young people in this culture. And I'm just, you know, glad to be of service, man. You know, to me, I obviously take it in a whole different way. As I tell people, I don't just call myself Minister Server. I did 3.5 years of ministry school to be able to be of service to the hip-hop community beyond religion, though, beyond, you know, people's, you know, everybody's mm-hmm. religion to me is personal. But because God is universal, you know, when we talk about hip-hop, higher infinite power healing our people, that acronym fits me and the work that I do. So I'm glad to be on this conversation with you. Looking forward to it. I hope people call in and ask some questions and dialogue, because it's a great time to be hip-hop right about now, bro. Word.
Absolutely. Hey, when this thing started, they thought it was going to be a fad, and here we are 50 years later,
yeah, exactly,
celebrating one of the most powerful aspects and culture in the entire world, if you will. And everybody has, you know, eventually came on board, but it, naturally, like all music, again, not just the music, if you will, but just in a sense, because it became a music genre, if you will, like all music genres, it was in the hands of the youth. Counterculture is always an aspect, so it was born out of all of that. Rock and roll was born out of that. Disco was born out of that. All different cultures. Blues was born out of that. In a sense, the young people got to, you know, find that thing that's hip. But yeah, this hip-hop thing stuck around and became the, you know, number one genre in our country, and through, you know, in our country specifically, and then spread around the world. So getting into this morning's discussion question, and to your point, hope people do call in, because this morning's discussion question, we made that part light. You and I are going to go deep, go into the history, talk about the state of hip-hop, where it's at now, and just dialogue about different aspects, what hip-hop has become, as you broke down and gave that amazing acronym for hip-hop, that in a sense that you live by. Obviously, now that it has moved into the commercial space, if you will, there's different versions of it, if you will, and we're going to talk about all those things. But to let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? As I obviously played an ode to the classic Brown Sugar at the beginning, where you heard various hip-hop artists highlighting their first time falling in love with hip-hop. So without further ado, Minister Servant, I'll ask you, do you recall your first moment falling in love with this thing we call hip-hop?
Man, you know, that's a question that's always a great question, because I can't really pinpoint exactly when I fell in love with it, because, mind you, before we even started calling it hip-hop, we were it. We were doing it, you know what I'm saying? By the time Rappers Delight came out in 1979, and that's the thing that I talk about, you know, as we celebrate Hip Hop 50, I think it's important for us to, you know, at least find out and do research of what was going on between 1973 and 1978, you see, because a lot of the celebrations that I've seen have dealt with rap music and, you know, the rap side of it. And that's, you know, obviously rap music is taking it to the whole next level. But if we're really celebrating Hip Hop 50 years ago, there was no such thing as a rap record. There was no such thing as a rap artist. Those things, those terms didn't even exist. But there were people rapping. There was DJs. There was all that. But there wasn't any records for it. So, you know, when I think about when I fell in love with it, I can remember, man, being like 13, 14 years old in Langston, New Jersey, and my man Chiefy, one of my homeboys, had people up in the Bronx, and he used to go up there in the summertime, and he came back, and he showed us this technique. We now call it needle dropping, but of course we know nothing about it then. He put it on this little phonograph, like little Fisher Price record thing,
mm-hmm.
like 45. And when it came to the break part, did a little that, do do that, do do that. He lifted the needle up, put it back on, do do do, and he was like, "Yo, that's what they doing now." So that's what it kind of sparked. But as far as rap music, when I first heard Super Rhymes, big up to Jimmy Spicer, rest in peace, Jimmy Spicer. But Super Rhymes, if you've never heard Super Rhymes, man, it's amazing storytelling. It's funny. It's, you know, just the way he told it. And for me, because I've always loved poetry, like about 11 years old, I fell in love with poetry. And, you know, used to love, you know, again, there's nothing new about rapping or rhyming, but to
right.
do it the way that in the syncopated sense once the Rapper's Delight came out. But for me, I would have to say it was probably Super Rhymes that made it. If you're talking about a rap song, Jimmy Spice, the Super Rhymes, which is still banging to this day. Great storytelling and the whole nine. So that's, but for me, like I said, just growing up around it and seeing it unfold and, you know, then becoming a rapper in high school and all that, it's just a great time to really think about what it was, what it is, and most importantly for me, what it can be.
Yeah. Nah, I love it. I love it. And see, by you growing up in the heart of it up there in the Northeast, where the things were sparking, so you can give us that history prior to the Rapper's Delight. Myself growing up in South Carolina, it kind of took Rapper's Delight for me to even get hip to this thing. You know, obviously, because as you said, there's a history well before 1979. And like you said, to be fair to that history, we have to get into that period beforehand. So, you know, my moment would have been after Rapper's Delight. Obviously, I loved that song and saw it was different and I took to it. But, it, you know, I would just say my moment really started when UTFO and the Roxanne were going back and forth. I was trying to find every version because everybody was making little, you know, versions of them battling, right? It wouldn't even necessarily always be UTF. Somebody, the Roxanne did this and Roxanne did this, all these little offshoot songs that were made. And I just remember trying to find those songs wherever they were because, you know, now obviously, again, the number one genre in the country, you couldn't find rap on the radio, if you will, right? So it wasn't like I could go to the radio to find it. So it was like we had to dig it everywhere we could. So that was, in a sense, my first moment. With that said, let's go to our first break. And as always, I'm going to play cuts that I'm going to have you to react to after the commercial, if you will.
So
after you hear this commercial, you'll hear a cut and we'll dig into some of these cuts and react. And again, let me go ahead and give out the number 646-787-169 if you want to join us for this morning's discussion. We definitely want to hear when did you first fall in love with hip-hop. We'll be right back where all I ask is that you think.
You don't stop the rockin' to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike and I like it.
T-Lumbo and TSK are excited to invite you to our annual fundraiser, Educate to Liberate. This year, the docufilm will be viewed at the fabulous Porter Sanford III Performing Arts Center in Decatur, Georgia. The theme this year is SOS, Saving Ourselves. The good news is we have everything we need to save our children. We just have to choose us. The event is Wednesday, November 29th at 6 p.m. Dinner will be served. Go to educatetoliberate.online or kilumboschool.com to secure your tickets. Text 404-992-8021 for more information. We hope to see you on November 29th.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for y'all youngins to hear. Spray can.
Yeah.
And then they would be out there and they would have the cardboard and I would be like, did they do that just for us? And this was something that they did at their hip hop club it wasn't that long ago. But why is it abroad people want to embrace the hip hop and the elements more than we do is right here created? That's a deep question, man. I'm sorry. Now it's time for me.
I think, I got that.
That was a deep question right there. I felt good about myself. I'm sorry.
I think because of it being very regional and like our New York hip hop state of mind, the way we came up and how we presented all the elements, a lot of people who got it later on in the States only got rap. So they don't feel any kind of real alliance to the elements of hip hop. And even when you say five elements of hip hop, you know, originally it was, breaking DJ and MCing, graffiti, and beatboxing.
Wow.
And then Bambaataa changed it to knowledge instead of beatboxing, which I thought was unfair. I say just add the sixth one, you know?
Yeah, might as well. Yeah,
yeah,
it should be the sixth.
Because, that happened like early 90s when they changed it.
Yo, but why does the pure essence of hip-hop live in other places other than
it's America? More appreciated.
Is that the word I should be using?
Yeah, it's definitely more appreciated.
I think...
Maybe it's a two-part question. Have you experienced
being
out there?
It's
a bittersweet, right? It's like, damn, I like that. But then it's like, why do you do that at home?
It's like my beef with Love and Hip-Hop. Like I said, it's not like they represent hip-hop culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At all. And that's the thing. Here in the States, the word hip-hop is just, it's rap music.
By the way, I think this is the most hip-hopest conversation we ever had on the show right now.
Good.
Make the fucking noise. Hip-hop shit.
So here's the thing.
I'm getting goosebumps. Okay.
When we live it, I think we take it for granted.
Okay.
Especially when it comes from people like us.
Right.
And when people outside got a lot of corny shit to live through,
right.
you know, I don't think they go through the same kind of pain. They embrace and
right.
they do the theatrical. I think it's more theatrical. Like, it's even like with dudes who spit rhymes but never shot a gun, and they're talking about shooting guns
yep.
or never been in a real beef.
Yep.
Like, emulating.
It's theatrical.
Right.
Like, you know, for me, I know what it's like to be shot at and to pull a trigger, and I'm not trying to celebrate that
right.
shit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So with a lot of people, they think it's just like theatrics. They're trying to put on this persona because they think it's so cool, but it's like, yo, my dude, like, if you're gonna go out there and you're going to dance and you're going to try to look like a hard rock,
right.
you know, you ain't really being you.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest Minister Server. This morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? Shout out to Crazy Legs on the Drink Champs podcast. He dug into some of that history and gave a real perspective at the end. He said, if you're not being you, I know that's absolutely not hip-hop. But if you will, Minister Server, anything in that cut that stood out to you? Obviously, I used it to, in a sense, at least at a minimum, address the elements, because, as you said, all of that started well before it was known as rap. Your thoughts, King?
Yeah, that's a great clip that you played. You know, Crazy Leg definitely broke down a lot of history that, you know, people don't know. And, you know, and as you also talked about, you know, outside of the U.S., because they don't have the same entertainment infrastructure that we have, to exploit the creative arts, they take the culture in the fullness in which the culture manifests itself, which is, you know, we forget that these was young black and brown teenagers and young people in their early 20s that was developing this culture, and it wasn't intentional. It was just a way to go from the negative situation that they were living in to create something positive out of it. You know, that's why, you know, when Zulu Nation was formed, you know, the whole concept was to use breaking, MCing, graffiti, DJing, and knowledge itself, as Crazy Egg talked about, was beatboxing, really, but the knowledge itself to achieve peace, unity, love, and having fun. That's the origin of hip-hop. Like I said before, you know, the records and things of that nature, you know, that was what it was for. So once the entertainment side got involved in it, and of course, corporations do what corporations do, and while some of them are definitely not doing the right thing, some are there to do what corporations do, which is to put it out to the world. Now, we in the culture have to make sure that we are, you know, at least learning about the different elements. You know, like I said, for us, everything was all together. So, you know, back in the day, you were just a part of a crew. And, you know, whether you were a rapper or whether you was a dancer, you know, pop, rock, and dancer, a DJ, whether you did graffiti, whatever it was, it didn't necessarily have to be labeled at the time. Those things kind of came later on, like I said, once you get into, you know, the corporate side of it. But I think that it's important for us to really talk about, and, you know, I think it was DJ EFN that said most of the conversations that we have in the U.S. about hip-hop are really just about rap, and I would agree with him 100%. Most of the conversations that we have about hip-hop are really just dealing with the musical genre of rap, which is a part of hip-hop, obviously. But for us, it's always been more than just rap, which is why about 30 years ago, when KRS-One said rap is something you do, hip-hop is something you live, those of us that were in the culture was like, word, that's the exact wording that we needed to express the way that we already felt. So, you know, big up the conversation like that, because what's really dope about it is that, you know, we at the beginning of our culture. 50 years, it sounds, it's beautiful to celebrate, but if we are moving forward in the way that we, and when I say we, I tell people there are a bunch of different ways of expressing hip-hop, and our way is not the only way, but what we do say about our way is that we have a 30-year track record, you know what I'm saying, of actually doing it, of actually
right.
being successful, of being positive, productive, progressive. And we share that with those that identify themselves as being a part of this community, this culture. Some people don't. And we don't, you know, spend time trying to convince, coerce, or convert anyone to. We're trying to really have conversations with those that are self-identified, because the way that we preserve hip-hop is by preserving each other, the hip-hoppers, not the element. The element's been here, and they're going to be here. But if we don't preserve, that's how hip-hop dies, and our point of view. So big up the Crazy Legs, all of them that take time, especially those like Crazy Legs that was actually there to experience the culture in a real way. Because, see, the truth is, you know, those of us that are 45 and older, we got a chance to experience hip-hop culture in a way that no generation ever will be able to experience it. That's why the way it was given to us. So I believe we have a certain responsibility. And you can lead, follow, and just get out the way and let us do what we're doing and set the table for our generations and generations. And because hip-hop has affected all of humanity, we can move forward in that. So big up to conversations like that. Big up to Drink Champs for having those kind of conversations as well. I wish they had more of them. Word.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I definitely pull that out to, you know, for our conversation this morning, because I knew it could, in a sense, take us down memory lane, as you said, prior to hip hop being only considered as rap, as you know, and I agree with DJ Effin on that 100% as well. And I remember even in the past, you know, I've been having these dialogues on race, sex, and culture for years, as you well know, Minister Servant, but I remember when I was just in the barbershops with them, and I would do conversations about hip hop, and the purist, you know, to their credit, would always kind of try to defend the understanding of what hip hop really was, and that it wasn't just rap, in a sense, to their credit. But I remember what I would always have to say. I say, but for the sake of this conversation that we're having, when we want to talk about the culture aspects, we almost have to speak to it in the way that everybody understands it. So in order to have a conversation about the music, because unfortunately that's just what it's become. And so it's almost like I was going to tell those periods, I was like, bro, I absolutely respect what you're saying. I said, but the conversation won't go any further if we don't recognize how the rest of the world now sees hip hop. If you know what I mean? And it was a valid distinction, but DJ Effin, and you are correct. That is what people think of when they think of hip hop, just rap, just the music.
Yeah, and you know, that's not a bad thing either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To some people, it is just rap. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole thing.
That's real.
Like, you know, for me, you know, I mean, it's like, I believe, and this is what I tell people, for me, and, you know, when I went to ministry school in 2000, it was very intentional. I was executive director of Nation Time Syndicate, which, for those that may not know, is the first hip-hop collective in Atlanta. In fact, if you're in the Atlanta area, I would invite you to go to the Earwax Experience, which is at the Science Gallery Atlanta. It's going to be there till December 3rd. It tells a great underground independent history of Atlanta. But anyway, so when I went to ministry school, I was very intentional of being able to present hip-hop from a different lens. Because, mind you, KRS has started the Temple of Hip-Hop in 1996, and the Temple of Hip-Hop was the first movement that was putting hip-hop in a spiritual sense. Again, not a religious sense, but in a spiritual sense, meaning that it's something, obviously, that are moving forces beyond us. Like I tell people, for me personally, David Tavares does not have the brainwidth to create a minister server by himself. No way possible. You know what I'm saying? But because I was very intentional what I was doing, what I believed in, it helped to unlock my divine assignment. And, you know, and that's what I think all of us are looking to do, whether we use those words or not. I believe every human being has a divine assignment. And when we unlock that assignment and stay in alignment with it, then other people get a chance to unlock their assignment. And hip-hop welcomes you to be your authentic self. You know what I'm saying? So for me, because I was already involved with Nation Time Syndicate since 92, you know, when KRS introduced the next level in 96 with the Temple of Hip Hop, it was already in alignment with the work that we were doing, what I was doing personally. So it just kind of fit and unlocked, you know, what I tell people openly. Is I most certainly believe that God sent me, the ancestors created the path on earth for me to do what I do. And now what I work on is, like all of us, working to stay in alignment, being obedient, you know what I'm saying, knowing that I don't have to be perfect, but I can be principled, you know what I'm saying, and moving that space. And it's been a beautiful journey, man. I'm enjoying it.
No, I love it. I love hearing your reality, because my reality is I love this thing, right? It's this thing called hip hop. From the element aspects, you know, just like you said, you know, being the same age, like you, I love how you said the age to experience hip hop in a way that no other generation could, because in a sense we were raised by this, you know, raised by this thing. And so, and people have heard these conversations, and it's not, we're not naive to the fact that, like, to your point, when the commercial aspect, you know, finally realized, okay, this is a real thing, we can do something with it, we can market it. So there's going to become, in a sense, copycats and versions of hip hop, where the challenge that we always talk about, being the old heads, and as you say, having a responsibility to take care of the generation, the one thing that you will always hear, and you already said it, Crazy Legs already said it, I'm going to highlight this again when he says at the end, you being you, that was really the ultimate thing, because to your point, that divine assignment of you trying to find yourself, with which every human is looking to do, for those who may only know hip hop only as rap, and like, and to your point, I'm not saying that as a negative thing, but for people who may know it only as that and don't understand how this thing actually raised us, the reality was it made us find ourselves sooner, I think, than you would have without it, if that makes sense. It was because the music spoke to, the culture spoke to being yourself and an acceptance and a coming together, that it mattered that you couldn't make it if you wasn't authentic and you. Now, obviously, that's changed 100% now, and so 50 years later, that ends up, in my opinion, becoming the challenge. You know, you always hear taking it to the music side, the artists always talk about, the early artists always talk about how they had to make their mark by having, in a sense, their own style, their own sense, if you will. And so we got all these different versions of break dancers and beatboxers, and eventually the MC and rapper comes along, you know, as it grows up, and everybody was trying to be themselves. And that was an ultimate element that I would offer, and I'd love to hear your opinion, that is somewhat missing in today's scene for what hip-hop has become. Now, the reality is, real quick, I'll say this, the reality is the authentic still comes through and shines and outlasts any of the copycatting, if you will, but it definitely seems to be cookie-cutter now in year 50, or at least that's how it feels to a lot of us old heads. What are your thoughts on, in a sense, hip hop the way it's seen today, seeming to lose some of its focus on being authentic? At least that's what seems to be the dialogue today. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think again it depends on the lens that you're looking at it from.
Okay.
You know, because particularly for those of us that are over 40. We come from a time, again, where there was no such thing as rap radio. It was only on specialty shows that you could hear rap. You know what I'm saying? But then in the mid-90s, when there started being where the place where hip-hop lives, you know, those kind of stations started popping up. You know, so if we're looking for our music, our cultural music on the corporate side, that's never going to win. It's like there may be a few songs and a few artists that – are staying true to what we call the cultural aspect, you know, because again, it really just depends on the way a person is looking at it. So the way that we look at it is that there's a corporate side of hip hop, there's a cultural side of hip hop. They can do business, they can blend. However, the cultural side for us is always going to be where everything lives. Everything that's even on the corporate side starts on the cultural side.
Mm.
So they can prop up whoever they want in mainstream rap music, but that's just the entertainment side doing what they do. And as you know, in 2023, they were saying that only one hip-hop album went to number one. So they,
right.
Now they're talking about, you know, things that people are getting into Afro beats and things like that. And on the culture side, we're like, okay, and whatever, because we're not concerned about that. It's like we know that we were on the Afrobeats years before now.
Already. Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, it's new to the commercial side of things. Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
When I talked to my peer group, like, you know, last year.
Matter of fact, let me do this, brother. Let me do this. Let me get this break in, and then you come back with that out of the break, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be right back. Come, y'all. Y'all jump in this thing with us. 646-787-1691. You can jump into the current conversation or let us know when you first fell in hip-hop. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
Be on stage saluting you, honoring you, giving you an award, my G. Like, it's crazy. Like, this is a rapper's dream. This is a hip-hop artist's dream, my dude. This don't make no sense. It's not regular. This don't happen. This happened because it was supposed to happen, because what you laid down, the foundation you laid down. When I first heard your music, I heard Check Out My Melody and the other one, Everybody's President. I said, why do they call themselves the president? Who's thinking like that? And automatically, in my neighborhood in Queens, they was doing a dance to your song as soon as it came out. It was called The WAP. I didn't understand how there was this synchronized dancing in the projects to a song that just came out called The WAP. I don't know how to do the WAP yet. This is crazy.
I'm not doing it.
But, my dude, the music went with the atmosphere. It went with the air. It went with the oxygen. It went with the style. It went with everything we was on, everything we was thinking about. Your music was teaching us, you're right. You're on the right way. You're doing it right. You understand? So when I listened to the first album, I said, all right, cool, let me start figuring out how to write rhymes. I started writing years ago with the Curtis Blows and Run DMCs and all that. But when I heard your music, also, man, my man Face, when I think of myself, I'm both of y'all. Like, I'm half Face, half Rakim, I'm some Ice Cube, I'm a little Ducky Fresh, my Virgo brother, and my man DJ Red Alert, wherever you at. I'm you too, man. Y'all started this. So when I listen to you today and take you back to that place, I realize rap ain't really going that much further from what y'all was doing with it. The first Face album, Ice Cube's album, changed me, taught me. I didn't need nothing. I left school early, but I had some amazing scholars. And them scholars, not saying stop going to school or nothing like that. Not saying that, ever. But when I left school early, I left. And when I had my teachers teaching me how to make it. And I swear, it was y'all that taught me how to make it. Look how I'm dressed. This is Follow the Leader, your video. This is what y'all was doing. I was learning how to dress. I was learning how to think freely when Ice Cube was talking. I was learning how to not accept, you know, the BS. I was learning what it really was to be a faker with Scarface. And my man Rakim, on the Paid in Full song, you started off with the word thinking. I said, wait, I don't see a lot of that in the streets. Thinking of a master plan. I see what's against you. I see that there's an enemy. How do I? Ain't nothing but sweat inside my hand. That verse, that song, Paid in Full, said I can make it. Because you, my brother, my man.
Wow.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? As I'm proud of that cut. That's Nas starting his foundation where he honors Rakim, Scarface, and some others, where he's basically putting together a fund to, in a sense, make sure they're reaping the benefit of this thing called hip-hop that the Rakim Allahs, the God MCs, created. Minister Service, I know you were making a point prior to the break, so you can definitely pick that up. And then after that, just any thoughts to, you know, just Nas really, really curating and taking care of the culture by starting that particular foundation. So proud to see that brother do his thing for all these years as well. But go ahead, King.
Yeah, definitely big up to Nas, man. Big up to Nas doing that, and big up to Nas maintaining a level of excellence in his craft of MCing. You know what I'm saying? You know, Nas has blessed us in the last 3 years with some of his best work.
Yes.
You know,
oh, wow.
That's something that, you know, artists should be able to hopefully get inspired by and know that, you know, for a long time, a lot of hip-hop artists felt like they had a expiration date if they were an MC. You know what I'm saying? Like at a certain age that they had to put down the mic. And, of course, you know, every artist has to choose, you know, how they want to use their art, whatever the case. Some may not feel comfortable, you know, rapping like Andre 3000 says at 48, he don't know what he wants to rap about. But, you know, that's crazy to me because I know people, now again, Nas's 50th birthday, he dropped, you know, a dope album, you know. But, again, to me, it's a blessing that Nas is doing what he's doing with a foundation. It's also in alignment with started last year with the Hip Hop Alliance, which is the first hip-hop union. It's in its formation stage now. Curtis Blow is the executive director. KRS-One is the chairman. Chuck D is the president. And MC Lyte is the vice president.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's something, so that's something that's actually still being formed right now. We're actually working behind the scenes to bring that forward. And that's going to deal with the rap and R&B artists, you know, from the 70s forward, you know, to make sure that they get in there, just do some of their time has passed and they get rights back to their music and all that type of stuff. So it's beautiful to see those things going on, which actually gets to the point that I was making before we got off. You know, those of us that are 45 and older, particularly, you know, again, because we've been able to experience it in a different way. For me, I look at it like, you know, we already acknowledge that there's nothing new about breaking and seeing graffiti, DJing, knowledge. Those elements have been around forever. But when we look at those of us particularly born in, like I said, that 1960 to 1980 roughly period, that was a time that we were the very first generation of Africans in America that were legally able to move freely in this country. Now, even though it's still a lot of work to be done, you know what I'm saying? We're still talking about a work that's recent work, you know what I'm saying? I'm 59 years old, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm 59 years old. I was on the planet Earth when Brother Malcolm was killed and when Dr. King was killed. So we're not talking ancient history. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about
that makes, that's a great perspective. That's a great perspective. Go ahead,
you know,
King.
And you know, big up to Baba Malik, one of my elders down in New Orleans, who, you know, when I met with him in 2022, we had a conversation, and he just, you know, was giving me some wisdom from the elders, you know, on the God and the ancestral connection, and, you know, really, really, really just affirming me and the work that I'm doing, you know, from the spiritual, cultural side of hip-hop without trying to convince anyone of any type of religion, because as I tell people, when I say higher infinite power healing our people, every religion fits in that. You know what I'm saying? Now, your religion, that's none of my business. I'm not that kind of minister. I'm not trying to save your soul or, you know, tell you, you know, prophesize your life. No, no, no. And I've never tried to act like that's who I was, because I've never been that. And it's never my aspiration to be that. I'm here to be a servant. I'm here to be of service in the ways that I can. And one of the best ways that I can is to be an example. So after talking to my elder down in New Orleans last year, I went on what I call my dopest hip-hop grandpop tour. You know what I'm saying? And for those that don't know, I am the dopest hip-hop grandpa. Yes, there are a lot of hip-hop grandpas, but Minister Servant is the dopest hip-hop grandpa. Let me just say that for the record, okay? But the main objective of that tour, in all honesty, was given an assignment to talk to my peer group more, because he was like, Minister Servant, I see the work that you're doing with young people, but you need to talk to your peer group more, because those people were between 1960 and 1980, we've been given the key, and the key is through hip-hop culture, these ancient elements, and everything he said just spoke to my spirit, just inspired me to, at the very least, have these conversations with my peer group. And, you know, Socrates, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. It was shocking to me how disconnected, and again, I'm only talking about me and my peer group, how disconnected so many of my peers are from hip-hop culture. You see what I'm saying? Because we're the ones that created it, consciously or unconsciously. But a lot of us got turned off by the way the mainstream rap music sounds.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
We got turned off from it. But we were the ones that said rap is something you do, hip-hop is something you live. Now, for those of us that took that seriously, while we're not loving the way that mainstream rap music sounds, we're too busy living hip-hop culture to even spend time trying to talk about, you know, we take the concept of they say when you put a clean glass of water next to the dirty glass of water, the dirty glass of water condemns itself. We see ourselves as the clean glass of water. We don't have to say anything. We have to keep doing what we're doing. And again, you know, that's where we, those of us that are 45 and older, that's the vantage point that we have that no other generation will ever have. Now, what we do with it comes down to individual choices. And I'm just glad that I could be of service to at least give us, you know, as I tell, you know, people that are 45 and older, at the very least what we owe our children,
right,
and our grandchildren, at the very least what we owe them is to give them our perspective of what hip-hop was, what hip-hop is, and what hip-hop can be. We owe them that, if nothing else.
If nothing
now, how
else.
You do it, I mean, you know, that you know, and again, it, but particularly if you don't, you know, try to make it about the rap music that they're listening to. Because, you know, rap is just something you do. You know, and I have six children, 3 sons and 3 daughters, and they will tell you, I've never tried to stop them from listening to their music. But because they were being raised in a household where hip-hop is a part of our regular lifestyle and culture, they're going to gravitate toward other stuff as well. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I may be in the car listening to Gucci, and my son may be listening to Tribe Called Quest.
Wow.
You see what
I
saying?
Love
because
it, man.
That's
I love listening. I agree. I love hearing you break this down, brother, as I'm listening to you. It's so important. It's so important for anybody out there listening, because what I hear you talking about, and I get when you highlight it at the beginning of you explaining this part right here, your frustration with your peers, I get it. And so I just want to reiterate that point, if I can, at this moment for anybody out there listening, because, you know, my demographic is, you know, around my age as well, if I just keep it a buck as far as the majority of who listens to this show, if you will. And so I want to reiterate what you're saying, because basically your point, and I'm hearing it clearly, is we've allowed what's happening on the commercial side, a lot of us have, not all of us. Again, I love this thing, so I won't let it go, and I do take your charge. But a lot of us have let it made us wash our hands of what we knew and know hip-hop to be, right? We know, like I say, we know what it is, but we've allowed it to make us, if you will, wash our hands of it in so many aspects that if we think this thing that helped raise us and had, as you kept saying from the very beginning, a lot of positive aspects of, if you will, knowing ourselves, and it was, like you said, it was something that we lived. If we think that this thing we call hip-hop is no longer doing that, then that is absolutely a responsibility on us for not passing down the knowledge, because I love that example you gave. You could be listening to Gucci, and it's your son that's actually listening to Tribe. That can't happen if you wash your hands of it. Got a caller that wants to jump in. For the caller that wants to jump in, we are going to go to our next break, and we'll get to you coming out of the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think very deeply. I think very deeply. I think very deeply. I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? Will all be explained like instructions.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today.
tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. Change the game. Change the game.
Rakim, man, constant elevation causes expansion. I live my life by that right now. Constant elevation causes expansion. So when you tight and you say, I only do this, you constrict yourself. So nothing can come in. This is what you do. This is what I eat. No matter how much money I get, I'm staying here. Yeah? Well, that life is about constant elevation causes expansion. I write my rhymes while I cool in the mansion. Like, and then he gave you the sweetness. He gave you the jewel of all jewels. You know what I'm saying? And then I write my rhymes while I cool in the mansion.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? We are fortunate enough to have spiritual advisor, Temple of Hip-Hop Minister Server, as well as the founder of Hip-Hop Bridge Builders. We got a caller that wants to jump in on this conversation. Area code 904, last 3757. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents, or tell us when you first fell in love with hip-hop. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
All right, coming through loud and clear. Yep. What's your name, where you calling from, and give us your 3 cents this morning.
All right, my name is Scott. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida, originally from D.C., but what made me fall in love with hip-hop really was N.W.A. when they first came out, you know. I don't even know if I can cuss on this show or not.
You can cuss on this show. Call it what it is. We keep it too real. We keep it way too
real.
Man,
when they came out with Fuck the Police, I came up, you know, I was like, you know what? It ain't necessarily that I agreed with it or that I wanted to, you know, be that controversial. But, I was just like, you know what? They're talking about something here. And, so I started listening to it. I enjoyed the whole album. I enjoyed the song, and then my dad heard me playing it.
how did it go, brother?
I tell you what. Well, first I caught the ass whooping, and then he sat me down afterwards, and he was like, look, it ain't about what you're listening to. It's about what's being said in the song, you know. And he's like, it's not like I've been a fan of the Police. You know, I came up when – it was now obviously this is 80s, you know, he came up obviously before that, you know, but he was like, but, you know, what we've been through and what you have now, you need to realize the progress involved with it. And if you're really going to listen to this stuff, I need to explain some things to you. And so he sat me down and he explained certain things to me that he had gone through during the whole, during the movement. You know, he had friends within the Black Panther Party. He went to school right there at Morgan, and so he explained to me what he had gone through, and all he asked me to do was, one, he didn't want to hear it, and two, if I was going to listen to it, I needed to really listen to what was being said. And so you know, with that being in my head, I started following Ice Cube. I started following Dr. Dre and all that. And, you know, as you know, they kind of split. They went their own separate ways, but they were still talking about very good things if taken in the right way, you know, especially with Dr. Dre. He kind of broke out of it, and, you know, in a few of his songs, he even stated how he was able to get out. But, hey, don't get it conflicted, because, you know, he still came from a certain place. He still felt a certain way, and he could throw them hands if they needed to. And, and so in my mind, I was like, you know what, I can grow out of this. I can get out of the town that I'm in. I can do the things that I want to do. But it doesn't mean that I have to lose my roots. You know, it doesn't mean that I have to lose the information that I have gained, whether it be from Ice Cube, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's, you know, the information that I've gained from Eazy-E, whether it's right or wrong. You know, because you can learn a lot from people doing the wrong thing, just like you can from people doing the right thing. So,
no, I love it. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were finished. No, please finish up, brother.
Go ahead. Yeah, jump in there.
No, I love everything you're bringing to the table, because to me it speaks to the authenticity of this genre that in the culture of hip hop, in the sense that as humans we can be all things. So you're calling in to say, hey, here's my introduction, right? And your father was at least gave you some wisdom to say, hey, well, what are they saying? Because we definitely know at that time there was consciousness, especially when NWA first broke out. So I appreciate your perspective. Thanks for the call. Minister Server, any thoughts to what Scott brought to the table this morning? I love his 3 cents this morning.
Yeah, definitely, man. And big up to your pops for, you know, breaking it down to you. Because, you know, sometimes you would have just took the tape and been mad at it without breaking it down. So big up to your pops for doing that as well, man. Because, again, you know, that song, Fuck the Police particularly, that's political. It's talking about police brutality and all that type of stuff. So, you know, big up that, you know, your pops took time to break it down. And big up to you for staying connected in the culture and, you know, giving that point of view of what we just talked about, really, which is rap is just something you do. Hip hop is something you live. So even though you were listening to a certain kind of rap, you didn't feel the need to necessarily live that way. So big up to you for pointing that out as well, Scott, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, actually you just hit on the last little point that I was going to bring in. I kind of jumped in a little late on this, but, I think it's wrong for us to just blame, you know, these artists that are out there doing what they need to do to line their pockets. I mean, there has to be thought involved with it. And, you know, if you just listen blindly and try to follow blindly, then you're going to be exactly that, just a sheep. You know, and I think all of us want to be out here. You know, we want to be the sheepdogs. You know, you don't want to become the wolf, you know, but you want to be the sheepdog. You want to be the one leading the pack and protecting the pack, not the one attacking the pack, you know. And so, you know, yeah, you can enjoy the songs, and I still enjoy them to this day. But I think that, you know, with the family dynamic and us, you know, not being as tight as we used to be, or, you know, maybe, you know, the breakdown of the family where you don't have as many with a mother and father in the home. I think all that comes into play, and thankfully I had one. I know not all of, you know, my brothers had that, but, you know, we supported each other, and I don't know if we get enough of that in today's youth. You know, I hopefully I'm wrong in that, but, you know, I think that's where the breakdown is, and if we leave it to a rap artist or to an athlete or to, you know, some thug on the street or hell, even a banker or a lawyer or whatever. I mean, you don't know what kind of morals they hold. And if you leave your kids' moral development to somebody outside, you don't know really what you're going to get. So, I mean, that's kind of my 3 cents as
you already know, that's what we do, man. That's a powerful 3 cents, and I think you gave your personal example to what you just spoke to, and Minister Server highlighted what your father did, right? Just that little talk, as you said, your father said, I don't want to hear it, but he took the time not to just say, throw it out and don't listen to that, because, you know, you were at that age where teenagers, you're going to naturally rebel, but he knew
that's right,
not to leave you be, right? He just gave you enough wisdom to say, I don't want to hear it or whatever, but make sure you're listening for what's being said. That little thing also made you, what I heard you say on your first part of your call was, it made you want to be better and elevate. If you caught the end of that Jay-Z, that was Jay-Z at the end of that cut, talking about what Rakim did for him just with the verse saying, he was wanting to elevate. And that's where everybody has to at least own the biggest aspect of hip-hop is that it does inspire people to reach new heights quite often. And you spoke to that for yourself. So it's like, as you said, as you was relating to that music, you also saw it as a way to say, hey, I don't have to just stay here. I can be these things. So great call. Appreciate you, brother, for getting in on this thing. Hey, and hopefully, like you said, with more family structure, we can make sure that youth are not left to be raised, if you will, by someone who's still finding themselves as well, or in some cases, really living out an experience, and the only reason they're speaking to it, because unfortunately, that's all they know. It like you said, it ain't the artist in itself. So appreciate your 3 cents, brother.
Absolutely. I have a good one now.
For sure. Actually, we got another caller that wants to jump in. Area code 404, last 3745. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Good morning. This is Shay calling in from ATL. How you doing this morning?
Hey, how you doing, Queen? What you got for us? I might have jumped you in a little too early. I didn't realize that. I'm trying to look at my board. So go ahead and get in here if you're ready. If you want me to put you on pause, then I can bring you back if not.
No, you did, but that's fine. That's good. First off, just let me say I appreciate you all having this conversation this morning. I knew you and Minister Server would do, you know, this conversation justice, so I appreciate it. To answer your question, I'm gonna play with that question a little bit, but I have a question specifically for Server. The question is, when did you fall in love with hip hop? So I'm a little bit younger than you all, but I would have to say that, like Server, you know, he mentioned that he doesn't really know when he fell in love with it. I mean, you love it, you fall in love, you know, you fall in love over and over again. But I will have to call out. Let's see. Brenda's Got a Baby would be one of the records that, for me, I think it hit deeper any record that I can recall. There are some other things. There are some other cuts like Ice Cube. You know, today was a good day. That was something that was like a theme for me. But then, of course, being from Atlanta, I mean, Outkast, Goody Mob, those were the artists we listen to on a daily, just getting ready for school or, you know, getting ready for the weekend. So falling in love over and over again, those would be the cuts that I have to lean to. But I have a question for Server. I kind of want to tease this out and bring it more full circle. You said something earlier, and peace, Server. How you doing?
Peace, I'm well. How are you? Thank you for calling in, too.
You're welcome, for sure. I'm laying in my bed, very comfortable, loving the conversation. I know I sound real relaxed. But you mentioned something earlier. You mentioned us having a responsibility to preserve each other. You know, we oftentimes talk about preserving hip-hop, but you were very clear in that, yes, that's important, but more importantly, you know, is preserving hip-hoppers or preserving one another. And you kind of spoke to it a little bit more, because the first thought that came to me was, you know, many of those that experience hip hop the way you describe it don't seem like brothers and sisters a little bit older than me, in a majority way, in a sense, and maybe I shouldn't even be talking about it in a sense of majority, but the thought was they don't seem to be concerned with preserving each other, although, you know, they were so deeply touched, you know, by hip hop, not just the music, but the element. And I wanted to know, you know, just tease it out. How does that happen? You talked about being disconnected. And so I didn't know if anybody else really caught that. And I want to tease out, like, how does that happen in a world today, you know, with all of the distractions, you know, all of the hyper individualism, even, you know, the bulk of the commercialized music, you know, speaks to that. So how does that happen?
No, I love this question. Unfortunately, we are at the top of the hour, so if you will, Minister Server, contemplate over it as we go to this break. And Shay, I'll definitely keep you on so that you can respond to Minister Server. I love this question. This is definitely a space we have to go into as well. But if you will, let me jump into this break, and Minister Server, I'll have you answer coming out of the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk. They still know it's me, because I look like money, smell like money.
Fight the Power is on the radio. Rodney King is beaten before the world. The black youth rebelled against the system. Again, they did it again. And why? What primed them? Positive hip-hop. Primed them. Fight the Power. X-Clan. Brand Nubian. You had these groups out here who were pushing, who were politically orienting black kids in the right direction, giving them the proper prompts that they needed so that they can respond properly to oppression. All right? In 1967, when the riots happened, he saw that the self-esteem and the racial pride was fueling this. So he said, how do I bring that down so that they will not riot? And what he did, he flooded the airwaves with black exploitation movies. Nigga Charlie and the Return of Nigga Charlie. These were movies. Hip-hop didn't start calling people niggas. We had Shaz. We had Coffee. Black girl turned prostitute to do whatever, you know what I mean? But these black exploitation movies brought down the self-esteem and the racial pride so that the kids will not rebel against this system of oppression. 92, the racial pride was back in effect. We had black kids going to Dr. Ben Yuckinen lectures. We were spending our money to go see Farrakhan speak as opposed to going to a strip club. This is where we were. The most coveted article of clothing was a historically black college or university sweater. We were motivating children towards positive attitudes and lifestyles. And when Rodney King got the beating, heads responded properly. Fast forward to our day. Sean Bell is shot 50 times in the street in New York by police officers. Number one song on the radio, Like a Lollipop. Nobody do nothing. Nobody respond to nothing. Trust me. Trust me. Just like the brother, I believe it was JT, the bigger figure, who said that the label executives came to him and said, yo, brother, we need you talking about guns and whores. Right. Mm. Know what I mean?
That's right.
That happens. I've been in those meetings with management and had to ask me, is what you're saying really what you believe so that we'll know how to market you properly? Right. You know what I mean? This happens. Young Buck. On his album, he has a song on his album that talks about police terrorism. The label said, absolutely not. Jimmy Iovine said, absolutely not. You cannot put that record on the album because it might create an atmosphere that might put police officers' lives in danger.
Right.
So they took the record off, but they let him keep the other 14 songs on the album that talked about killing black youth.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? As we hear Wise Intelligent break down his perspective on what's happening in hip-hop. Shout out my sponsor, Money Motivation. They re-upped their sponsorship for the year. So you don't seem to hear that commercial. They are having their Black Friday sale. This is when I buy the most stuff. They send me stuff too, but I also support. So definitely go to moneymotivation.com and pick up gear up to 70% off on some of the hottest streetwear brand in the land. We got a great call in. Shay asked you an amazing question, if you will, Minister Server. So you had a little time to contemplate it. I think even the end of what Wise Intelligent said actually relates to, in a sense, what she's asking. How do we preserve one another? Because that is a beautiful point that you made, and she's brought kind of back to the forefront to say, what does that even look like? Go ahead, King. And I got her available to respond to you.
Word. Okay. First of all, again, Shay, great question. It's such a multi-layered question. I'm going to answer it as quickly and succinctly as possible. First, let me say, big up to my brother, my Jersey brother, Wise Intelligent, who is always on point, who has stayed consistently on point, not only in his conversation and speaking, but in the art and in the living of the culture. A happy hip-hop history month. I just want to put that out there. You know, when it comes to how do we preserve each other, you know, Shay, you know me personally. So, you know, as a true student, you know, as a student of a person who believes that we have the power within us as humanity to determine the life that we want to live and the future that we want to have and all those different things. So it starts with a person learning to love themselves. And I think, you know, so many people are hurting right now. Some people are insecure, and we have these systems that are set up to amplify that. You know what I'm saying? You know, social media and just television in general and the media in general, the media in general is constantly pushing fear, constantly trying to tell you that you're not enough, you don't have enough, you haven't done enough, constantly pushing that. Well, the way that we combat that is by speaking the truth. First of all, affirming, you know, and again, what I love about being a hip-hop minister is that I respect everybody's spiritual path. You know, I believe that God is a higher infinite power healing our people. And we can use it in a way that, you know, benefits us first and foremost, because all of us operate in a mindset, whether we've identified it or not, all of us want to experience life more abundantly, right? But if you only do it from a sense of yourself and you don't see the oneness of it, it's because you haven't allowed your consciousness to be expanded to go beyond just your individual self. So in hip-hop culture, when we say we are hip-hop, we're not doing hip-hop. We are hip-hop. So the way that we preserve hip-hop is by preserving each other. And that's the mindset that obviously a lot of people have to grow into. But it starts right there, and it starts by being intentional. And for, you know, for some people, that's a natural thing. Like, I know a bunch of, you know, healers and light bearers and people that are, you know, looking to make themselves and the world better. In fact, I know more people that way than the other way. You know, most people are kind of in that middle area. But the way that it starts with is being very intentional and, you know, to want for your brother or sister what you want for yourself. I mean, it's not even complex. It's just because of the world, particularly in the United States of America, it you know, because of this capitalist system, it tries to make us think in scarcity. Scarcity leads to fear, so you don't think you have enough, and this may happen. So you know, all those fear type of bases. But you know, me as a minister, particularly in hip hop, the thing that I want to emphasize is that we are operating in faith. We are the substance of things that are hoped for and ain't no evidence to be seen right now. It starts something just like that. And as I tell people all the time, not even God Almighty will make you do that. As a human being, you have choices. So the way that we preserve each other is, first of all, you know, just like we do at In Spirit and with Ulu and things of that, you find out who you are, you connect with your tribe, and then y'all build. Everything is not for everybody. So, you know, that's why I always emphasize our view on hip-hop is not the only view on hip-hop, and it's not for everybody. But we have proven that our perspective, the way that we look at hip-hop culture, is successful, not only for us personally, but for our children, and our community,
We can show you evidence of these principles. And me being able to match truth principles with hip-hop principles, that's how I created Higher Infinite Power Healing Our People Ministry.
And we let me jump in real quick, Minister Serva, if you don't mind. I'm thinking of an example of what you're talking about, just to even explain it for anybody who might be, you know, in a sense, listening and trying to relate it to, as we already talked about, hip hop is seen as just rap, if you will. I think a real aspect to what you're talking about is in the beginning of hip hop, when you would have hip hop battles, quote unquote, even beasts, if you will, the understanding was such that while we're out here listening and waiting for the response to the artist, you know, the response that's in the middle of a battle, the reality is you might see those same artists on tour together, because while there's a bunch of bravado and aspect of I'm the best this, I'm this or that, what you're talking about was so well understood that a battle wasn't really a beef, if you will. And so I'm highlighting that because as I hear Shay asking that question, we absolutely understand that to a degree, not even just the commercial side, but we've bought into the individualistic culture that Western culture constantly teaches, if you will, that even within the music now, battles are actually more beasts than they are battles, and they can't even be, this crew and that crew can't even be in the same arena together anymore because of that aspect of what I hear Shay asking of, is commercialized to be individualistic. Go ahead, brother. I'm just kind of relating historically happened versus what it looks like today, and I think we've lost what you're talking about. But because historically, you still pulled off. Go ahead, brother.
Even if we take it outside the realm of rap music, and this is what I talk again when I'm talking to people 45 and older, right? Most of us, well, first of all, if you are self-identified as being, if you identify yourself as being a part of hip-hop culture, hip-hop community, whatever you call it, you are hip-hop. If you identify in that kind of consciousness, right? The first thing is that you realize is that who you are as a person, and most of us know people that can honestly say hip-hop saved my life, hip-hop gave me direction in my life, hip-hop helped transform my life. Of every occupation that you can think of, I know literally mayors, doctors, lawyers, judges that will self-identify as being a part of hip-hop. So if that's true, then at the very least, as I was saying earlier, at the very least, we have a way of expressing hip-hop in the world differently. And it's not necessarily going to show with us right now because we're building something, which is why, again, I was on my hip-hop grandpa, the dopest hip-hop grandpa tour, because we have to think beyond ourselves. So Shay, when you ask the question about preserving each other, the way that we preserve each other in the physical sense is by taking care of our physical selves and our children and our nieces and nephews and the young people around us physically. You know, the work that's being done with TSK and Columbo, that's a part of preserving us. You know what I'm saying? And those type of things are important, and it's not necessarily going to ever be the masses that even takes that kind of consciousness. And it's never been the masses. But for those of us that understand ourselves beyond time and space, that understand that we are a part of a continuation of a creative energy that expressed through us, and, you know, whatever you want to call him, her, it, you know, the Most High God, and then we have ancestors that have actually walked the earth. So in hip-hop, we know that there's nothing new that we're doing. In fact, even the music from the beginning was borrowed from other genres of music and, you know, right, borrow from other type of things. So, you know,
no, that makes
and
sense.
Again,
let me just see, just want to reach out to Shay because she's still on the line. Any thoughts about what you're hearing? Any more questions, Queen? We got about a minute and a half before we go to another break, but I wanted to see if you had any thoughts to what you're hearing.
No, that was beautiful, Server. It's the reason why you are my favorite minister. You dropped several jewels in that, but I will bring out just one particular thing that you said, finding your tribe. In order to find your tribe, you do have to know yourself first. So you brought all of these things out, and I hope, you know, everybody is listening intently, but you answered that beautifully. Thank you for giving me more to chew on.
No, I love it. Thank you for the call, Queen.
And let me just say thank you for you and your family
for being a huge part of who I am and always supporting me in my work. Enough respect forever. Word.
Absolutely. Dialogue and connect is what we do best. We're not just a talk show. We are really here to connect the listeners and all of you as African Americans. Our mission is to create a nationwide virtual neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through meetups, social media, and this podcast. So understand there is a bigger mission here. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Dress it up and go to Nassau. 200 miles on a dash. Got a roll of pound up a gas. Put the names in the Grand Rapids. We the ones that kept it cool with all these niggas till these niggas start acting. Shoot a nigga like a film in a movie, niggas gon' love the map. We ballin' like the Marsh Madness. All these cops shoot a nigga tragic. Hold on, wanna live in lavish. Like I'm playin' for the Mavericks. I don't want for the bitch that might have made me fuck her even though she average. Dirty money in the cup. 45 by my good, when young nigga in a cut, take you out for some joints, count this money, no rush, I'm on the one way flush, loud pants smelling mustard, fucking police can't touch me, fucking police can't touch me, fucking niggas can't touch me, apply the pressure with the VVS, I try to...
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today.
tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. Change the game. Hey, man, y'all know why the vibe be so off in some of the black clubs, man. We really be in there trying to have a good time listening to 30 straight serial killer songs. Like, we really in there trying to have a good time and vibe out to murder music. We in there hypnotized. We damn near all done lost somebody to violence. That's why we all in there on the verge of socking some shit. We keep listening to serial killer music. These young mad-ass niggas talk about hitting somebody with a switch. Man, 30 clip, slide, slide, slide. Man, we in there drunk. We really hypnotized listening to this devil-ass shit. I ain't gonna lie, like, I don't like some of the music, but it be like, man, how's we partying, trying to have a good time listening to murder music? This shit is psychopath shit, for real. Like, I mean, indeed, we gotta start switching it up, man. If something gotta change, because that shit is really, like, it blow my mind. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? Please give us a call at 646-787-1691. You do need to press 1 if you want to let us know when you first fell in love with hip-hop. But if you will, special guest Minister Server, founder of Hip Hop Bridge Builders, is here with us. As I play a cut from a young man saying, hey, this is what it's like in the clubs today. I brought out the Future cut because to a degree, he's the father of the, in a sense, the latest sound, if you will, that we have over the 50 years. The genre has went through many versions or whatever. And to a degree, I'll give Future his props for, you know, what he served coming out of the Dungeon family as well. In that sense, or whatever, but he's also quite often related to, the codeine and syrup, that type of thing was being pushed, if you will. So obviously, while ushering in a change within the genre, it also has even a young man questioning, what the heck are we doing when we're really supposed to be in the club just partying? And the young man speaking to the power of music, really. And specifically hip-hop has another element of power that I think a lot of music doesn't have. Again, we're focusing now on the music. Your thoughts of everything you just heard, because we got to have this part of the conversation, too, if we're going to recognize the 50 years of hip-hop, if that makes sense, Minister Sutton.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, big up to that young man. I think he's speaking for a lot of young people. You know, when I work with young people, the one thing that we would be surprised is how conservative young people really are. Like, they don't want to hear a lot of stuff that's being pushed to them. But they're not the ones that's controlling the buttons that are pushing it. That's where we, again, that 45 and older, that's where we have to, at the very least, begin to question what's being put out over the public airwaves. There's a campaign called Clear the Airwaves. Big up to the work that they're doing now. People can go to clearTheAirwaves.org and find out. Because, again, these are public airwaves. And as a young man spoke about, you know, the music that's being pushed, and it certainly has a certain energy. You know, those of us that are younger or older, we know that music carries a certain vibrational energy, you know, and because everything is energy. We all know that in different ways, which is why when you work out, there's certain music that you play versus the music that you play when you're, you know, at the crib chilling. You know what I'm saying? And there's a certain, even if a person hasn't found the words to express why they listen to certain music, it's a certain vibration that it gives. And what he spoke about is, like I said, you're in a club trying to have a good time, but every song is murder, 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 and somebody's off in the clip. And then the other side is, you know, the prostitution rap, where, you know, if you even want to try to talk to a woman, you got to be doing this and having that and coming to that, you know, all that type of stuff that has made, you know, mainstream rap music, again, particularly for those of us that are 45 and older, be like, man, I don't even deal with hip-hop. Like, one of the common themes that when I was on my Dopest Hip Hop Grand Pop tour last year, in the conversation that I was having with my peer group, I would ask them, name me three rappers under the age of 35 years old. And, of course, they would try to say Kendrick and J. Cole, but both of them are older than 35 now.
Right.
You know, people love to say J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar as if they're some young 20-something rappers.
Right.
That's not the case. You know what I'm saying? But
yep, that's
at
real.
At the end of the day, you know, what I talked to them about, like, if you don't know about, you know, these younger artists, then how can you criticize with the things that you hear in the mainstream? Whereas the we, again, because we come from the era where we know some of the dopest songs that we've ever heard were never on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
Were never
That's
on
real.
The radio. And yet those are underground hits to us. So we could be at a place and somebody throws something on that the people in the mainstream never in their life heard. And yet, you know, we rock it out to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll lose our mind. They'll be like, what is it they listening to and what is they going crazy over? Because it's a bona fide, certified hit for us.
Right.
So, to your point. And
that's in every region. You know, people have their regional hits and local hits and things of that nature. So, you know, to me, it's just unfair the way that we've allowed the airwaves to get. And even when it comes to the business side, you know, as Wise pointed out on the clip you played about the mainstream entertainment, Jimmy Iovine and you know, Interscope and all of them, and Leo Cohen and all these other ones that most certainly came in and tried to elevate the lowest energy they possibly could to make the most money that they possibly could. Forget the actual circumstances that are playing out in actual communities. I'm not sure whether you recently, there was a post that was going around with a young lady that was in the classroom and was asking her children, like 5-year-olds, was asking them to sing their favorite song. And they were singing Sexy Red. He's a 5-year-old. So you can't blame the 5-year-old. But who are the adults that are so negligent that they're not only letting their children listen to it, but listen to it enough where they feel comfortable enough to sing these songs? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So what that young man spoke about in the clip that you just played, even though he was talking about the clubs, you can use that in various areas, man. That was a heartbreaking clip when I saw that because, first of all, you know, like I said, for them children.
Yeah, the young lady broke down crying. I saw the clip. She broke down. She broke down trying to share the clip. It broke her down. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, listen, it's something serious. And what you are, again, I'm saying the same thing I've been saying the whole show. At the very least, bro, at the very least, we have to have these conversations. And these are not sexy, glamorous, or popular conversations. But for those of us that genuinely care about ourselves and we care about preserving ourselves and each other, it's an easy conversation for me because, as I tell people, I have very selfish reasons why I am in the service. The main thing that I'm looking for is to be able to create a foundation that my children and my children's children will be able to benefit from. You know what I'm saying? And because my children don't live in a world by themselves, you know what I'm saying? It's not just about my physical children. It's about our children.
No, I get it.
You see what I'm saying? It's about our children. We also from the generation that used to say it takes a whole village to raise a child. Remember we used to be on that?
Of course.
A whole village to raise a child.
Yep, and let me jump in on that just to kind of peel this back a little more because I'm definitely in this sense aligned with you, and I also want to throw out just a challenge just to kind of go deeper with the dialogue. But yeah, to your point, I definitely saw that young lady just distraught that 5-year-olds were asking for sex, asking for I think it was the Pound Town song or some crazy song that little 5-year-olds were asking for or whatever, and so. So
which is just a whack song anyway, not even a concert. It's just a whack song, period. I'm mad at just the whackness of it.
Nah, I feel you on that. But here, if you're listening to that, and again, I saw that young lady, her being distraught, and to your point, it's not the kids. But here's the responsibility that I want to kind of dig into, because as much as we highlight, the Leocorns or the Interscopes, and as you already said it correctly, they're just trying to maximize the money, right? And so what happens is when you talked about at the very beginning, our responsibility becomes we know they're going to only maximize the money. And so once you know that, it becomes imperative that we are extremely conscious of how what's commercialized and the exposure to our young people, because there's no way, like you said, 5-year-olds should be asking for that song. But I am digging into more of what you said about the responsibility that we personally have as a culture to be aware of. You can't just go with the mainstream. Because nobody would disagree or argue that they're just maximizing the money. The unfortunate part, Minister Server, is a lot of times we just drop it off at that. Like, well, look at what they're pushing. And then we're done with the conversation. And because we're done with the conversations, we now get, if you will, 5-year-olds asking for Pound Town. Because even with the wise intelligence, I'll let you jump in here in a second, but even with the wise intelligence pointing out, if you will, how JT Bigger Figure says, hey, they say, rap about, guns and hoes. He said that was a request that was made. Well, here's a reality, and again, I just want to get into the dialogue and challenge this a little bit. JT Bigger Figure was rapping about guns and hoes prior to the label saying, hey, do more of that. That's the space that he was already in. And for me, I'm not trying to turn this into the fault of the artist. I am trying to dig into the dialogue that we need to be having in the culture about what we can do, knowing that maximizing money is all, quote unquote, they are ever going to do, and we should never expect anything different. So what can we do ourselves? Your thoughts, King.
Yeah, I most certainly agree with that. And while the money plays a huge part of it, it's not only money. It's like, there's a level of negativity, and I'll just label it under that. There's a level of negativity, imagery-wise, in the whole nine that's being pushed, particularly in the black community. So, for example, while we know, hip-hop is the number one genre of music in the U.S. right now, right?
I think I'd like to be correct on the numbers, just real quick. I think they fell the second about 2 years ago. I don't know if it got back to first yet, but But just kind of highlight.
Okay, well,
I'd like to be accurate. It was number one for over a decade, but I think we're second behind the country again. But go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so you know, this is my question, and again, I'll use your line. All I ask is for people to think. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother.
Show me the Caucasian equivalent to sexy red. Show me the Latino equivalent to a sexy red. Show me the Asian equivalent to a sexy red. Show me
Jewish
person
for that matter. Yep.
So again, we have to at least ask ourselves, well, why is this image of the black woman particularly being pushed in this type of way? Why is this image of the black man as the hyper masculine thug that's only concerned about money, clothes, and hoes? Not that that may not be a segment of it. Why is that's what's being pushed? But particularly on the woman's side, because it was our ancestor, Mary McLeod Bethune, that said the true worth of a race,
yes,
must be judged by the character of its woman. So while money plays a part of it, it's not only money, it's image and character as well. So for example,
let me do this, matter of fact. Let me get this break in and finish up that thought.
Okay.
That's a nice little segue. So let me get to this break and we'll continue this conversation. Thank you, brother. I love where you're going with this. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
I remember Mr. Magic Flash, girl, that's the cat, LL raising hell, but I think it lasts every year, Rock Kim was the shit to me. I flipped to see a Dougie Fresh show with Ricky D and Rattle Earth was putting in work, and Chuck Steele had my homies on the hill getting ill, where shit was real, when I still remember Raw with Daddy Kane, when De La Soul was putting potholes in the game. I can't explain how it was, Houdini had me puffing on that Buddha getting buzzed, cause there I was, them black parties in the projects and on my block. Tripping on that private side, through my finger, Queen Latifah, and MC Light. Listen to Chester KRS to get me through the night. With Taylor Rock and Mad Tonics, it's just a sonic. Remember, Pusha with the boss, it's like the old school.
Little man, whoever you is, until you feed the kids where you from for 20 years straight, don't question Rosé. Wait. Until you buy 10,000 bikes, 10,000 trikes, give all the young girls who pregnant Pampers for Christmas for 20 years straight. Don't question boss. You heard me, little man? Get that basket off your head so you could think clear, little man. You going viral for speaking on niggas' names, not because of your talent, not because of your gift. Go viral, player, off of your wisdom that you're sharing. Get that basket off your head, boy, and come together with real niggas around the world.
David defeated Goliath. You see how he in his feelings?
Mm-hmm. In his feelings, bro.
In his feelings, David defeated Goliath. That's all. That's what happened right there. We talking about your musical content, bro. You're almost 50 years old, brother, and I love you, but you're almost 50 years old, and you're still glorifying murder and drug dealing in your music. And I say that because as I'm listening, I'm just like, man, it's crazy because anybody who hears what I'm saying and they got that much pride to where that's how you respond, man, we talking about your musical content, bro. I'm talking about you reach millions of people with your music. Unfortunately, he let his ego and his emotions get the best of him in that instance.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? Special guest, Minister Server, founder of Hip Hop Bridge Builders. I hope you're familiar with the D1, I guess I should call him Christian rapper for whatever, been around for a long time. But he's out here currently challenging hip-hop, and he particularly called out a few artists, Rick Ross, who you heard at the beginning of the cut, Meek Mill and Jim Jones, and just for that young man just making a point to challenge the content and also forcing even the artists themselves, especially the older ones that's been in the game for a minute, to recognize the power of the content on the youth. And so I appreciate the challenge that the D1 is stirring up within the culture, if you will. But Minister Server, jump in. I know you were finishing up something, and I definitely want to hear your thoughts about what D. I'm assuming you're familiar with what D1 is, how he's been challenging the culture, if you will. But go ahead, King.
Yes, you know, big up to D1. I agree 100% with what he's doing and what he's saying. Let me just finish the point I was making. We're talking about, you know, these music executives wanting, you know, the bottom line is making money. And the bottom line is not always just making money, was the point that I was stressing. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at Lil' Kim and you look at Lauryn Hill as just two different models, you know, 180, 180. You know what I'm saying? If you look at Lil' Kim and Lauryn Hill, right? Both very popular, both people you don't feel passionately about. Lauryn Hill sold way more records. Lauryn Hill won way more awards. Lauryn Hill has an album that 25 years later is still an album that people reference to this day. And yet, every 2 years, the entertainment industry intentionally tries to recreate Lil' Kim. So when you look at from Lil' Kim to Foxy to Trina to all the way up to Cardi and Meg and, you know, Sexy Red, all of them are in that same Lil' Kim model that the entertainment industry pushes. So it's not just about money, because Lauryn Hill sold a bunch of records, but they have never one time, not one time, have they tried to recreate Lauryn Hill. Again, as you say, all I ask is that you think, why is that?
So let me dig into that. I'm going to challenge you on this. Let's get into this. Let's do it. So the beauty of having a Lil' Kim and a Lauryn Hill at the same time, and the beauty of us being the generation that, as you pointed out, we was born into this thing, and we have a unique view, purview, if you will, of hip hop. And so the best thing that, and I think you would agree with this part, that we got was humans, we are all things. And so hip hop spoke to all those things, because, you know, you could have I Need Love and going to a club and where these hoes at. Hip hop made all those songs because, again, this is human expression at its finest. And so at the end of the day, hip hop was authentic. You could find different songs to speak to you at any point. Unfortunately, what has been lost with the commercialization, and to your point, what's done on the commercial side, is the balance has been completely lost. Where I will agree with you is that, in a sense, is intentional in this sense. Since we've already agreed, or we haven't said this, but the time that I spent in the industry, in retail and in promotions, at the end of the day, I definitely would hear from those labels. And at the end of the day, we used to call them just number crunchers as far as what they were looking for. They were always looking for the latest trend. Again, as hip-hop became more commercialized and became the number one genre. And so in chasing the dollar, and I know you said that's not the only thing, but in chasing the dollar, it became easy, in a sense, just to look for copycats. And so here's where I would challenge you. Where I would challenge you is it ain't, in my opinion, the industry that's reproducing a Lil' Kim every year. I would say that the messaging that is coming through the music and now the commercial side overtakes, as we mentioned, how underground hits would be a thing within the culture. Well, now that it becomes, this is how I make money, then naturally the youth, in a sense, get a craving, that's not the word I want to use, a taste for, I'm going to make what makes the money too. And so Sexy Red is not put out because of what the industry wants to do. The kids love her as bad as I think all her music is, especially when you're a hip-hop purist. I don't like any of her music, at least in, you know, for me. I know some people my age who do, and that's fine. So for me, this is not a shot at Sexy Red. But what I do know is the little girls were going crazy over her prior to the industry latching on and now pushing her. And that's how music has always came to the forefront. The youth are going to rebel against what a 25-year-old is listening to, because a 25-year-old ain't cool to the youth. And so their rebel music becomes prominent, and the industry just goes, oh, that's what the kids want to listen to? And they put the money behind it. I don't know at the time of Lauryn Hill, with all the numbers that she pushed, part of her own issues as far as not coming out. I feel like had she come out on that same level again herself, then we would have had youth wanting to be her too. But her own, in my opinion, her own step away from doing hip hop in that way made us lose a generation of kids who would have wanted to be like her, look like her. And the industry in my eyes has always just jumped on the trend. So had there been a bunch of kids wanting to, if she stayed in the game and wanting to look like her, they would have pushed that too, because at the end of the day, they still just want to make the money. So that's a perspective I have. Definitely want to hear your thoughts on that.
I disagree completely with that, because again, we're talking about 25 years later. That's the first thing. So again, to even bring up Sexy Red, she's just another plant in the industry. She's not the only one that's pushing that narrative. And you know, for the industry to prop up anybody, they have the infrastructure to do that now. Talent is not a prerequisite anymore. You know, artists are there as propaganda tools. Sexy Red is there as a propaganda tool. So again, I don't know her personally, but I understand the way that the industry moves. So again, if you talk about imagery, you know, it's not an accident that if you take somebody like, even somebody that's in the industry, somebody like Rapson, that you know, been Grammy nominated and a whole nine, is it an accident that the time and energy to make sure that Rapsody is at these different places and different shows, that's not coming from the underground. No, that's coming directly from the corporation. Directly from the corporation. And my opinion is that...
Let me ask you, for clarity purposes, when it comes to rap, I'll just make sure I'm understanding you. So when it comes to Rapsody, because I love her, she's my favorite female artist right now, what's coming from the corporations in reference to her? I just missed what you're saying. I just need to understand what you're saying.
I mean that the corporations are now pushing Rapsody, meaning that Rapsody is a Grammy, is a Grammy nominated artist, and yet if you ask those same little girls, have they ever even heard the name Rapsody? They'll probably say no. That's not accidental is what I'm saying. That's not accidental. That's very intentional. And yet somebody who, again, has no track record of doing anything can put that place. But for me, the bigger point, again, because, again, I don't like to have hip-hop conversations and only talk about rap music. That's just you know, a conversation that people have way too often, and it's just a waste of time just talking about rap. We literally been saying for 30 years, rap is just something you do. But if we talk about what is it that gives our young people the appetite that's what they're gravitating towards, you know, what is it that makes those parents of those five-year-olds think that it's okay for their children to consume that type of music? That's the real conversation. You know what I'm saying? That's the real
conversation I'm trying to have now. I hope that's what you're hearing, that's why I'm asking and having this challenge to the conversation, is because it's to talk about that appetite. And, you know, I'm just, again, kind of highlighting to a degree where I think it comes from, because I would highlight that, unfortunately, before Sexy Red pops up to our age group or in the commercial part, if you go see how crazy they were going over her prior to her popping up.
That's just a part of the media propaganda. That shit ain't true. She had no buzz before they gave her a buzz, bro. That shit is not true. That's my point exactly. It's just like when you understand music is not music. Music is propaganda. Music is propaganda. We live in the United States of America. Everything is propaganda, capitalism, and political, every single thing. And when we begin, particularly, again, I'm not talking about young people. I'm not talking about even Sexy Red. I'm talking about those of us that are 45 and older. And it's for us to, at the very least, stir the conversation in the direction that we want to see not only rap music, but hip-hop culture going in. So if we keep buying the mainstream narrative, it's just like having hip-hop 50 conversations and all people talking about is rap music, when rap music don't even start to 79. It's a ridiculous conversation.
So what's ridiculous about what we're talking about now, though? Because
No. Not what we're talking about now. I'm talking about just in general.
Okay.
I'm talking about now because I mean I wouldn't be on here.
I'm just making sure I'm understanding you. Now we good.
Those of us that are 45 and older, if we're still having our conversation on hip hop about rap music, we're behind the game. Not the young people. Sexy Red is exactly what she's supposed to be. She's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing. Let the young people do what they do because they're only doing what we either did or didn't do. We cannot blame young people for doing anything, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because we haven't done enough on our side. Again, if we the first generation.
I'm 100% with you there. Yeah, then that's where you and I are 100% together. Yeah, we're 100% together on that part.
If we're the first generation that this hip-hop culture came through and we're celebrating hip-hop 50, then, you know, again, if we're only talking about rap music, we're not even celebrating hip-hop 50.
I get you on that. So, let me go to this is our last break, brother, so I'm going to jump into this very last break, and we'll continue this last segment. Anybody wants to jump in and tell us when you fell in love with hip-hop, we still would love to hear it. 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. Call in and tell us when you fell in love with hip-hop. We'll be right back, but all I ask is that you think. Psychologist Dr. Gerald Hassel and Omar Buckner, founders of Self Mastery Retreats International, is proud to present a transformative experience specifically designed by black men for black men. This immersive retreat offers a unique opportunity for black men to forge deep bonds, enhance their personal growth, and empower themselves to create positive change in their lives, families, and communities. For 5 days in the sacred surroundings of Puerto Morales, Mexico, a select group of powerful black men will embark on a journey of self-discovery, creating a safe and supportive space to share their experience and build a strong sense of community. This trip will truly transform your life and takes place February the 15th through 19th, 2024. If interested, text SELF-MASTERY to 678-548-2456. Again, that is SELF-MASTERY to 678-548-2456 to receive a direct link for the retreat.
T-Lumbo and TSK are excited to invite you to our annual fundraiser, Educate to Liberate. This year, the docufilm will be viewed at the fabulous Porter Sanford III Performing Arts Center in Decatur, Georgia. The theme this year is SOS, Saving Ourselves. The good news is we have everything we need to save our children. We just have to choose us. The event is Wednesday, November 29th at 6 p.m. Dinner will be served. Go to educatetoliberate.online or kilumboschool.com to secure your tickets. Text 404-992-8021 for more information. We hope to see you on November 29th.
On Wednesday, November the 29th, I will be at the Educate to Liberate dinner as well. So if you want to support this amazing call, TSK and Colombo, please go to educatetoliberate.online to get your ticket. Hopefully I'll see some of you on Wednesday night. A couple other announcements. December the 9th, we're putting on Mental Dialogue and Privy out at Stonecrest. Is putting on the Book Exchange Coffee and Wine Club. Bring your favorite book. Think of it as speed dating with books. You'll be introduced to 3 new books as you interact with people as they bring their favorite books out. So pretty cool opportunity. Also sponsored by our other sponsor, Ship and Share Wines. And then December the 15th is our end of year Mental Dialogue live experience. If you're in the Atlanta area, come out to the smartest event hands down in the city on December the 15th as we'll be doing our soapbox dialogues. Matter of fact, Minister Serve, eventually get you on one of our soapbox where you do a 5-minute soapbox on the issue of your choice. So we'll have to get you on one of those in the future. I'm trying to do a all champions soapbox dialogue on the 15th, and we're going to do the after party at Social House, a black-owned speakeasy on December the 15th as well. So if you're in the Atlanta area, go to mentaldialogue.com to find out about our events in the Mental Dialogue Community Club. This morning's discussion question, 50 years, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? We'll continue our conversation, if you will, Minister Sir. I'm going to share this again because I want to dig into what we're talking about now. And to your point, if we're talking about the kids, we're missing the boat, right? And so I'm doing this in a sense to challenge the perspective of, one, what can we be doing? And I actually think that even the perspective of what the quote-unquote industry pushes, I think we missed the boat a little bit. And I'm not saying I'm right. We're just having a dialogue between, you know, you and I or whatever. And so I remember when I spent about 5 years trying to get into the industry. I had a great friend here in the Atlanta area, awesome rapper who never did get to break all the way in. But, you know, we got a few songs here or there on the radio and some dope mixtapes and things of that nature, basically. But during that time, I jumped into radio promotions a little bit. And I remember the program director here in Atlanta, you know, said this. He said, at the end of the day, 7th or 8th graders control the radio. And I think, you know, here in Atlanta's always been pretty good about allowing, in a sense, the local artists to get to mainstream radio in a way that a lot of major cities don't support their hometown rappers, if you will. And so I'm bringing up that point. Because further in that conversation, it was a panel that I witnessed or whatever, but the program director was really saying the power of the youth, and this is all at a time where Soldier Boy, if you will, breaks into the industry from his perspective with the following that he had earned and quote-unquote becoming the first internet rapper. And so when you say I'm buying into the narrative, I'm seeing – you know, trying to stay abreast of this hip-hop culture, still keeping up with the youth, even if it ain't the music I personally will listen to. Quite often, they're telling me who, in a sense, they're listening to. And so my question is, when you say, quote-unquote, Sexy Red is a plant, in your opinion, what does that look like? Because if you say I'm buying into the narrative, I have friends, if you will, in the area that a Glorilla and a Sexy Red Red is from, those kids really be messing with those artists, like for real, and then be just within the region. So help me understand how that becomes a plant from, in your perspective, from outside entities versus 7th and 8th graders controlling the radio, as the program director mentioned here in Atlanta.
Well, again, as you said, that was 2007 when you're talking about Soulja Boy and radio. Radio does not have that kind of pull nowadays, period. So there's too many ways for young people to get music. So while they are most certainly still the major tastemakers, radio doesn't have that kind of pull. Radio's always been, as you said, it comes from, you know, the particularly if you're talking about locally to the mainstream. You know, I think the reason why I believe, and again, I have no facts to prove my opinion, and my opinion why Sexy Red is a plant is because, again, she's not the only one doing that type of rap, you know what I'm saying? And she's not the only one that had a local buzz, but there's certain imaging, and again, this is science, this is propaganda. It's not money plays a huge part of it, but again, money without power means nothing, and you know that's why you have some rappers that are billionaires, but they have no power. They're not able to do anything. They just got a bunch of money. Money plays a part of it, but where we are right now, particularly when it comes to the mind of young black people, if you can have them distracted and wasting time and things of that nature, if you can push this kind of image where again, back to the young lady with the children in there. Again, we're talking about 5-year-olds singing songs that weren't even made for them to sing. So it's not about Sexy Red. It's about us in that community, you know, those parents in those communities that are allowing our children, some of our youngest children, to be already planted with this kind of negative energy. And, again, we know that music attacks your subconscious. So it's not an accident that when children are, particularly of that early, you know, that early learning age, that it's songs and repetition. That's why the ABC song and Barney and Sesame Street, all those things are based on repetition. So if we are not constantly aware of what we're allowing our young people to consume, and then we have an industry that says, well, listen, if I can make this kind of money, at the same time lower the consciousness of the people that I don't really value them as people anyway, then that's a two-for-one. And that's exactly what I think. It not only happened in Sexy Red, I think it happened with a lot of rap artists. You know, if you put on mm-hmm. rap videos and you cut the music down, it looks like a modern-day minstrel show a lot of times. And we don't like to say that because, again, I'm not blaming any artist. I'm at the age where I've been in the industry long enough, you know, and seen right. so many different things that I'm speaking from a vantage point where I know what happens in some of those meetings. I know some of the conversations. And, again, I wouldn't judge any artist that are using whatever talents or lack of talents that they have to lift themselves personally out of their personal circumstance, because that's a choice as well. However, because I see myself as a part of community, I have a right to speak my opinion on the direction I think we should be going, direction I Absolutely. Think we shouldn't be going. And Absolutely. My opinion only has the weight that my community allows it to have. Now, this is where me personally, as my track record, not only of the work that I've done in hip-hop, but as I told you 20 years ago, the way that people really can see the work that I do is for my 6 children.
I agree.
At the end of the day, it's about real life. It's not
yeah,
about just
real
and the other. It's about, you know,
Let me jump in real quick, because for these last few minutes, let me jump in. I want to share something with you real quick before we end the show, if you will. Because I love what you're saying. I to a degree, will highlight that the quote-unquote powers that be that run the industry, I think they're absolutely indifferent to us based on the historical narrative. I'm just throwing out something real quick. I think they're indifferent because where we are aligned is that these narratives and this imagery is prior to even hip-hop existing. And so I do understand that those images are still being propagated because that's the mindset of how we've been looked at historically in this country for years. So it unfortunately does continue. In that sense, I think we do agree. I just want to share a piece from my book, Reeducation of the Negro, a short commentary. The book is designed this way, where you just share commentaries and give a thought. So I want to share this commentary and get your final thought from it, if you will. This is Black Socrates Speaks, Deeper Than Rap. Every time I see young parents riding around with their 2 to 5-year-old children listening to trap music, I wish they knew the irreparable damage it can cause. Before the age of 7, children should not be exposed to any explicit lyrics. Psychological studies show that children exposed to this type of music before the age of 7 have trouble distinguishing between the songs and reality throughout their lives due to the part of the brain still forming until this age. This is why children can quickly assimilate several languages before the age of 6, but after that, the child must be taught a new language. Another reason this is specific to hip-hop is due to the fact that the music is created from a drum machine. In other genres, musicians typically play live instruments and make slight mistakes detectable only to the inner ear. Therefore, they are incapable of playing a perfect beat as the drum machine can in a hip-hop song. This perfect beat subconsciously creates a trance-like state for the listener, young or old. Hence, the drum machine is why hip-hop is loved worldwide. This trance-like state is also why the people that cannot speak English can easily recite rap lyrics when our rap stars travel the globe. This further shows how powerful and damaging this trance can be for young minds. Think about this. How would a young man raised on these explicit lyrics ever hope to have a meaningful relationship with a woman in their lifetime if they only listen to music that declare M.O.B.? What self-worth should young girls expect to have after listening to these same messages for most of their lives? Oddly enough, Rick Ross said it best when he said, "This is much deeper than rap. Just my 3 cents. All I ask is that you think." Again, Peace, Reeducation of the Negro. Pick that up at Amazon.com. We got one quick minute, Brother Server. So if you can give me a quick thought and then let people know how they can stay in contact with you to follow your work. Thank you so much for being on the show, King.
Yes, thanks for having me. And that was a great passage that you read. You definitely raised some great points in that, you know. And those are questions that, again, you know, we should be asking ourselves, but particularly those of us that are over 45 in hip-hop, because, you know, whatever's going to happen in hip-hop's future, we play a part in it, about what we do or what we don't do. So big up to you for, you know, the work that you're doing to ask people to think, because, you know, when you think that we can have these kind of conversations, and from the conversation we can come up with some strategies and some solutions. Because at the end of the day, we do want to create a better world for ourselves and for our children's children forever. And for those that are not in, for those type of things, then we just don't have anything to build on. But for those,
I love it. How do they stay in contact with you, brother? How do they stay in contact with you at the end of the show?
You stay in contact with Minister Server on Instagram, MinisterServer@gmail.com, or Facebook, David M. Tavares. And, yeah, you know, if I could be of service, you know, through Hip Hop Bridge Builders, which is the connection of the different organizations through Hip Hop Ministries, which is the spiritual, cultural, political side, I'm here to be of service. Thank you for having me on your show, brother. Appreciate the dialogue.
No, absolutely. All I ask is that you think. See y'all next Saturday.